Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves. And Marty was having a little show and tell. We have our fantastic, I think they're now out of circulation, Pure Dog Talk wine mugs. Yeah, so if y'all are really interested, shoot me a note and I'll see about adding those to our to our collection again. It's the holiday season, so you never know who could need a present. We decided tonight we're going to talk about whelping box material. So I know this sounds kind of basic, but I see questions like this on social media all the time. And as usual, I would much rather that we get our information to share with you guys from experts than from the social media keyboard warriors. So here we are. All right, guys, whether you're a first-time breeder or a seasoned veteran, it's not just a litter. It's your legacy. Each puppy represents your hard work, your dedication, and it shows your commitment to the next generation. Revival is honored to support you every step of the way. You can find everything you need to support your litters and the health of your dams and sires with Breeders' Edge, Revival's premium line of reproductive and neonatal health products. Breeders' Edge was actually developed with the help of our very own Dr. Marty Greer, Revival's Director of Veterinary Services, and a leading expert in canine reproduction and neonatal care. Breeders also rely on Revival, the pet vaccine experts, for vaccine selection and safe shipping to give their litters the protection they need. Revival's online pharmacy serves breeders with a wide variety of prescription medications, plus a knowledgeable staff that's always ready to answer any questions. Grow your own healthy legacy with help from Revival Animal Health. And check this out, one time only, $15 off your order of $99 or more by using the code PODCAST15. You can use this code by calling 800-786-4751 or stopping by www.revivalanimal.com. So how you doing, Marty?
I'm great. Do you think somebody could buy a friend a patron gift?
Yeah.
So to be a patron, they could buy that gift for a friend?
100%. Oh, yeah,
that's a great idea.
There's your holiday gift idea, you guys. Either a wine mug or a patron's membership.
You don't have to ship it. You don't have to pay for packaging. Yeah. You don't have to wrap
it.
Like
put a little card, you know, you're done.
Laura,
I'm about it.
What did you
love this. Everybody, shop local, shop small. We're all like trying to not support no Black Friday at the big box outlets, right? I love it. Shop local. Buy everybody you know a patron's membership.
One and now you're done.
Great. It's a great gift.
Stopping. One
done.
Check and
one and done.
Done.
Done. Oh my God, that's fantastic. Okay, so a little promo there to start with that we weren't planning on. That's okay.
Yeah,
100%
sorry.
Fine.
Derailed.
Whelping box material could also be a present, but, you know, probably not.
Yeah. So there's a lot to discuss. This sounds simple, but it's not. Mm-hmm. So most whelping boxes will have a heat source and a surface that's easy to keep clean and disinfected. The heat source, I use what used to be the T.E. Scott whelping nest. There's other companies now that make them. And if you don't have electricity, they make them propane powered.
Yes.
They make them powdered on DC batteries. So you can get alternative sources. And it might not be a bad idea to have that as an alternative source if you normally have electricity, but you're in an area that may have frequent outages and you're expecting puppies. Because I have had people lose power and end up in trouble with their puppies because
I'm telling you, because I was a dog handler, all my litters were born in December. It was the only month of the year I could reliably make it so I could not have a dog show. And I think it was actually that very first wire hair litter. I was still living in Washington and the litter was in a garage area, so it was okay, but it wasn't great. It's Washington, it doesn't get that cold. Well, we had a blizzard and then we were out of power. And then thank God, my ex-husband's giant work generator. So I could run the heater by the puppies and I could run the microwave to make their formula, because of course this was the litter of 11 that I hand raised because mom never made enough milk. So it's fantastic.
Yeah. We all have those kind of horror stories. Mm. So you have a disinfectable surface. So you want to make sure that you're disinfecting and you're using the right disinfectant with the right dilution or concentration. If it's required to be rinsed, that you rinse. So read the label directions and don't mix Clorox with anything else. Don't mix your stuff. So first you're going to have this surface that's heated and you're going to have a disinfectable surface. And then you need something absorbent, because even when the female is cleaning up after the puppies, puppies still will have urine, they'll have stool. And so you need something absorbent, especially in the first 3 or 4 weeks. But that by itself is a little bit concerning, because some of the surfaces are slippery. People use newspaper, they use other things, and those are bad ideas. Revival makes a really nice pad, a whelping pad. It's called the Repeat Pad, because you can wash it like 8 million times and it's absorbent and it has pretty good traction for the little critter's feet. But it gets better.
Okay. I have to tell you, because I'm in charge of stories tonight, apparently. So the story, my mother, God love her, God rest her soul, she was so cheap. She wouldn't even spend money on newspapers. She would take the dog food bags. Remember back in the day when dog food bags were multiple layers of paper? And she would take each layer apart so that she had an extra paper for the box. It took me a very long time to convince her that this was not helping the dog's traction. So traction, you guys, traction, traction, traction. If I cannot tell you anything, please, no newspaper, no shredded paper, traction.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's nice fleeces that you can put in the box. Those work well. I like the absorbency of the repeat pads and they're launderable. They're a lot easier to launder than the big fleeces. The fleeces, you have to go to the laundromat if they're really huge because they won't fit in your typical washer and dryer. And then what I put on top of those is I'll put an absorbent material down, like the repeat pads that Breeders Edge Revival has. And then I put down bath mats. And I know there's been some discussion on Facebook and some other places about the importance of traction and how wolf cubs and fox cubs and coyote cubs and all those things are raised and how they're done in these dirt enclosures, dirt holes, and how their traction works. And so I think we need to think about those things, but I don't think we need to put our dogs on dirt. Although I will tell you, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to, is one of the puppy mills back in the day when puppy mills were a thing in Wisconsin, one of the families that ran that, I've been to their facility many, many times. So I know what it was like. And the state of Wisconsin does not want, they don't want absorbent materials to be dirt, wood, untreated wood, things like that. They don't want the dogs on those surfaces because you can't disinfect them. But I did the OFAs for this place. And every single one of their dogs that was raised on dirt came back with OFA excellent hips. Now, how much of that was genetic and how much of that was good traction because they were raised on dirt? I don't really know. But, you know, there's a lot to be said for traction. So I think we need to pay attention to that. So I, during COVID, was concerned about the socialization of my puppies and their exposure to different places that I would ordinarily have been able to take them to. And so I, in the throes of COVID, went to Walmart one day, one trip to Walmart, and bought 11 different styles of bath mats, all in the store at the time at Walmart in one trip. I bought two of each so that I would have one to photograph and one to use. This was before you could do self-checkout. I'm pretty sure the lady that looked at me buying 22 bath mats thought I had gone off my rocker. This is what COVID does to people. You lose your mind.
Lost your cookies, lady.
So they make all kinds of bath mats. They had slatted ones. They had round holes. They had square holes. They had shiny ones. They had dull ones. They had bristly ones. They had white ones and green ones and mesh ones and all these different styles. And so without even having to order anything online, I just went to Walmart and put 11 pairs of bath mats in my cart. And most of the bath mats, unless they're the slatted ones, you can throw in your washing machine. You probably don't want to put it in the dryer, but if you put the absorbent material down and then put the mesh over it, the urine can drain through. Your puppies get good traction. They get a variety of surfaces. Why do I want 11? Because I want my puppies to have 11 different surfaces for them to be exposed to visually, tactilely, auditorily. They're all different. And so my puppies had 11 experiences without leaving the whelping box. So it was really important. And I still, to this day, are seeing puppies that people, they're 5 years old now, and people come in and say, well, it's not his fault. He was born during COVID. Okay, you've had 5 years to fix that, folks. So I'm saying that if you were proactive during COVID and you were thinking about it, you didn't end up with that problem. If you weren't proactive, you need to get some fixes done. But those are really simple things that you can do to give different visual, different auditory, and different tactile surfaces. And those are really important to dogs. We sometimes overlook those things as humans because we don't really take into account how important those are to dogs when they're taking in the whole world around them to understand different surfaces.
So traction important for hip dysplasia. That's the conversation that has become pretty widespread across social media. I think there's a lot to it. I really think that nature and nurture, it's polygenetic. Like, you know, if we can do as much as we can do to help them when they're little, then I can't necessarily help if the new owner has a shiny floor that they go sliding across later, but I can do what I can do to start them right. Right. So the revival pads, I do love my thick fleeces. I really do. Because traction, because squishy, because drainage, because absorbent, all those things. You don't want to have layers where the puppies can get caught. Right. No. But I do like to have things like if the top part's gross, I can peel it off and the part underneath it isn't as bad, particularly as they get older and mom's doing less cleaning and there's more grossness and you have 14.
And you're doing two loads of laundry in the morning.
An hour.
And two loads at night. Yeah.
So that layering piece as they get older, I do like for that reason.
And the other thing I like to do is I like litter box training. I know we've also got the Brilliant Pad as an option, but I like those ideas because it's just a lot cleaner. And so you're not having puppies walking through feces and puppies tracking
the
feces into their food
bowls. I mean, like legitimately, it was great. Spinoni puppies, you know, maybe they missed the paper or some, but they were trying, you know, and it's you're doing litter box training. You just don't have. Like when I first started doing litter box training, the first time I did it with shavings. And, you know, when you get pine shavings, that's fine. If you've got a kennel building, if it's in the house, it's not so fine anymore.
No. And if you have coated dogs, it makes a big difference. The corgis didn't do well on shavings. They did better on the wood pellets, but they make alfalfa pellets. They make corn cob pellets. There's a lot of surfaces. And I have not had
those things.
Had that experience. And I have corgis, they're like cardboard, but I haven't had a problem with my farm dogs or my corgis eating it. So you do have to be thoughtful. You do have to be careful. But those are all things that you can do to improve the footing, improve the cleanliness, improve the hygiene, and not totally wear out your washing machine every time you have a litter of puppies that you have to replace the machine.
I've so far only replaced one, but, you know, it's buy the heavy duty, guys. Go with heavy duty washing machine.
Yeah, buy a Speed Queen. So the other thing that I would like to mention is for those flat-chested puppies, because we do have some of those. That's another orthopedic issue that we have on some of these flat surfaces. And I don't know which comes first, the chicken or the egg, because we'll have puppies that are born with nice rounded chests, and within 24 to 48 hours, they'll be flat. Like they'll look like a fish laying on its side. So it's really disheartening when those happen. And those puppies have a hard time breathing. And so I don't know if they're breathing so hard that they're sucking in their chest wall or if their chest wall is flat and it's making them breathe hard. I've never figured out chicken and egg, but it'll be sometimes one puppy in a litter, sometimes a whole litter. And so egg crate mattresses, those things that are real bumpy, those underneath your mat can be helpful. The other thing that I've had good success with is if you can find, they're harder to find right now than they were at one time. There are octopus toys for dogs, and they tend to have these long tentacles with curled legs. And if you give those to those puppies, they find their way magically into that curve of the leg, and it supports their chest. And so they're up off that flat surface, the same as the egg crate mattress. So if they're off that flat surface, it allows their chest wall to then reshape. And it's surprising to me how quickly those chests change negatively and positively. So you can buy those egg crate mattresses from any of the department stores that sell bedding, and then you just cut it to fit the size of your whelping box, and you accept the fact that you will not be able to wash them in your machine, and you will have to throw them away. But if you spend $20 on a mattress and you save your litter of puppies, then it was $20 for a mattress pad, folks. Get over it. Throw it in the trash when you're done. But those are really important things for people to be prepared for. So if you have a history of having heavy dogs, bulldogs, and other breeds that tend to have those flattened chests, we can see them in any breed, but some breeds are more likely. The swimmer puppies, just have a couple of those ordered. Buy whatever queen size, full size, whatever size you want to get that'll fit in your box. Cut it into pieces, put it in the box. And if you can't cut it with a pair of scissors, those electric knives that you use for turkeys at Christmas and Thanksgiving, those cut right through foam. Man, those are like cutting through butter with a hot knife.
So of course, you would be the only person I know that knows the answer to that.
Well, I have collected a lot of really important trivia over the years that may not seem important to anybody until you're in a crisis. And then you're like,
so you know,
what
I know.
Do I do?
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute.
Hey, you guys, does your dog have itchy, like sensitive skin? If so, think about trying the new ProPlan Veterinary Supplements Skincare Soft Chews. This supplement is specially made to support dogs' skin health, including conditions like sensitive skin and seasonal allergies. ProPlan Veterinary Supplements Skincare Soft Chews feature collagen, EPA and DHA, vitamin E and zinc to support the dog's skin health. Omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids help maintain the natural skin protective barrier. Vitamin E provides antioxidant support, while zinc offers immune support. So look for the National Animal Supplement Council quality seal on the package that certifies that skincare soft chews meet the highest quality and compliance standards for pet supplements. They also taste great and are easy to add to your dog's daily feeding routine. ProPlan's Veterinary Supplements Skincare Soft Chews are available via the My Purina app or by visiting purina.com/mypurinaapp, where you earn points on every purchase. You can also buy it online at Chewy and Amazon and in stores at Petco. Okay, so another one of my pro tips, if you have nice floors in the room where you're whelping box is going to be that you don't want to have trashed, not necessarily carpet, but you know, like a nice linoleum or a nice wood floor or what have you. I have found it really handy to go buy like a sheet of linoleum that you cut and put under everything.
Yeah.
Like I personally still use a wading pool. Y'all can yell at me all you want to, but I never had puppies stepped on. They are perfect size, they're $10, and you throw them away when you're done. It's fantastic.
And they disinfect really well.
Yeah.
They're really perfect. They're easy to keep clean. Yeah. They're meant to be kept clean.
Exactly. But if you put that linoleum on the floor underneath the pool, and then you have your heat source, and then you have your absorbent source, and then you like all the layers, I love it. So go to for disinfecting. What's your favorite?
I use chlorhexidine Novasan. I've used that for 45 years. Love it. Other people use other products. Rescue and some of the other peroxide-based products are newer. I think they're fine as well. Bleach, if you rinse it well and you're careful with the fumes, it can be effective. It's certainly effective against parvo. But we have other products that are equally effective that we don't have to do that with. And the other thing that I've seen people do for surfaces is that AstroTurf, the fake grass. And so those are kind of interesting. You can either cut it in a square and use that as your potty area, or you can just expect that to be another good surface with good traction. Not when they're newborns, not when they're, you know, really, really babies, but when they start getting up and moving around and walking and things like that. And a lot of people will set up an X-Pen with two sections in it, the sleeping area and then the other areas for with pottying and playing and that kind of thing.
Board between them.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's lots of things that you can do, a lot of creativity. So go online, take a look at what other people have tried, look at surfaces. There's some cool stuff you can do to make it really work well.
Yeah. I love the Brilliant Pad. Before we had the Brilliant Pad, I used the AstroTurf. And what we did is we put it in like a flat, like a, wasn't a kitty litter box. It was shallower than that. It was like a small, like inch tall, so the puppies could get in it. And we had three or four pieces of that cut to fit that size. And so when one was dirty, you could just pull it out, take it outside and wash it off, put the clean one in, and maybe three at least. So you've got one in the pan, one drying, and one clean
one
and ready
washing
to switch out.
Right.
Yeah. That actually was my favorite until I used the Brilliant Pad.
Yeah. So here's my 11 bath mats. I don't know.
The other way.
Send you a picture that we can put on the website. So there's my bath mat collection. But for my litter box, I use a paint pan, the metal ones. Not the plastic ones, because the metal ones one end are deep and the other end is shallow. And when I have little short-legged dogs like corgis, I can pull those legs out, flatten it. And then they make these really great liners for paint pans that are disposable. There are three for $2.22. Now, the high-profile ones the dogs pull out and play with. But the low-profile ones, the white ones that fit right tight into the pan, they're 70 cents a piece. So you put them in. You fold your legs out, you put them in, you put the shavings in. Anytime you move the puppies so that you're moving them and waking them up, you put them directly into that so that they know that it's available. And I'll tell you, probably 90% of puppies will very easily want to use the Brilliant Pad, the litter box, something, because puppies are inherently programmed to keep their sleeping areas clean. So if we give them those options, like I said, when you first get up in the morning, you put them in there. I take them back and forth to work with me every day. So we put them in the car. When we get out of the car, they go in the box to go potty. And they very quickly figure that out. But you need to put that as far away from the door that you walk into the room where the puppies are as possible. Because if you put it in the doorway where you walk into, they all run into it, whether it's the Brilliant Pad or a litter box, they all run into it. And that's really not what you want. So I put it in the opposite corner, you know, 180 degrees away from where I'm walking into the room, just for logistics.
So I do have, because I told you it was tonight was my storytelling night. So
yes.
This is one of my truly fantastic favorite stories, and it combines several of the components that we're talking about. So you were talking about swimmer puppies. Okay. We had a singleton Spinoni. He was obscenely well fed. Like he laid on his little velvet pillow and never moved. And his mommy just came to him and fed him and he never moved. And he was just, he wasn't flat yet, but he was getting really close. I'm like, okay, we got to do something about this. Meanwhile, I had a litter of wirehair pointer puppies that were about the same age. And there was, I don't know, six or seven of them. And the mom was kind of meh, but they were busy little buggers. And I said, okay, well, bring me this Spinoni puppy over here. He was like two of them. Like he was huge. And I said, I'm like, you're not going to eat unless you get up and go there and eat. Like nobody's coming to you, Bubba. And overnight, like he couldn't get on his feet. Like he could not stand up. He could barely get sternal. He was just like a blob. 24 hours, man. 24 hours. This puppy was zooming in there with the rest of the wire hair puppies. He turned it on. He figured it out. He had it all just going. And so as the puppies grew, we were talking about potty training. That particular whelping area that I have is, we call it the princess room, and it has a door out to the deck. And I start training the puppies to, you know, the potty boxes by the door, and then it's on the landing, and then it's on the deck. And well, by about 3 or 4 weeks, these puppies had decided they didn't want to potty in the house. Nope. And so at 3 o'clock in the morning, when most puppies wake up and have a potty session, right? Like everybody's puppies wake up at 3 o'clock. They would take the Spinoni puppy and use him as a battering ram to bust open the door. And they would all go screaming out onto the deck so that they could potty outside at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Could they get back in?
Sure. They just ran back up the stairs. Door was wide open. I had to go close the door, but yep, They're fine.
You know, it worked. I've been so jealous of
puppies. Really want to be clean. That's just that's the moral of the story is they will use a battering ram.
I have never had a setup where my female could take the puppies in and out, and I've always been jealous of people that could do that. So I think that's a really great setup if you have that opportunity.
If we had a door where there was like a, you know, a doggy door instead of just bursting through the glass door, that, like, you know, come on, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were, that'd be helpful. That was a special bunch. That was a special bunch. But yes, puppies love to be clean. And you can get a swimmer up off their chest and nothing flat if you just say, here you go.
Motivate them.
Yeah. Go eat.
But I've never had that opportunity. So when I had a litter of Bernese Mountain Dog puppies with my corgis or my farm dogs, I would just pick them up and carry them out the door or put them in a box and carry them out. But when we had Bernese Mountain Dog puppies, that was not a feasible option. So I went to the store and bought one of those rolling totes that you can store stuff in that have wheels on one end. And I'd toss them all in and we'd run out the door and let them all go out and go potty and then run them back. You know, there's times of the year in certain parts of the country, certain parts of North America, that it's really hard to housebreak puppies. Because when you have this much snow and you have corgis with legs that are this long, it doesn't go real well.
Or they're born in December and it doesn't get above freezing for 4 months. Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah. Right, because they freeze when they're out there. So, yeah, there's definitely some challenges to this. So that's why the litter training can be so helpful. And then when you send the litter substrate along with the people that buy your puppy, you tell them to go out and put it in the lawn, whether it's the Brilliant Pad fabric or material or whether it's pellets or shavings or whatever you've been using. It really helps to get those puppies housebroken much more quickly. Yeah. So those are some really great tools for surfaces that I think are important.
The other thing that I think we haven't talked about that I think is worth mentioning, what you put in your whelping box, a little bit depends on your dam.
Yeah.
Because I use a lot of, you know, clean, good edge towels, right? Old blankets, stuff like that, that no holes. Don't put stuff with holes in your whelping box. I've seen puppies get their heads stuck in them, all that kind of stuff. But I use that kind of thing because I have dams who won't just eat them. That's not always an option. Mm-hmm. Other than the Revival and the big fleece mats, do you have any other suggestions for bitches that are just destructive?
Well, indoor outdoor carpet, it keeps it flat. But if you have a bitch that unravels it and swallows that long skinny piece, that can be dangerous too. So it can be a little bit tricky.
The heavy duty fleece, I have yet to find one that can shred that.
Oh, yeah. I love those, but it has to be a pretty spectacular fleece because there are some dogs that would be destructive anyway. And the other thing that I do instead of linoleum, if linoleum's not a good option for you, is those flannel-backed tablecloths that they sell at the store when it's like the day after Halloween. I'm the lady in the store buying not the round ones, but the rectangular ones because they're half price or 75% off. And so those are great things to put. You can put large areas of those can cover your carpet. So if you have a female that has discharge, or you have puppies that you're trying to get to the door before they go potty, you can put a string of those across your carpet or your hardwood floors. And the flannel keeps them from being too slippery and the surface keeps it from being absorbent. And then they're a buck and a half, you know? So you throw them away when you're done. It's not the end of the world. I take those when we travel to hotel rooms. My hotel room floor is covered with those. So I'm sure when the maid comes in, they look at me like,
weirdo.
I don't have to worry. I don't worry about my puppies having an accident on the carpet at the hotel that I am now responsible for because I have covered my floor with those. And they're not slippery like a tarp or a trash bag.
Right. Yeah. I did tarps for a while, like underneath the shavings. Like that end, I would put, you know, the tarp would go under the...
Right.
Oh, my God. And the puppies eat the tarp and they eat the shavings. It's just a disaster. So I am suggesting to all y'all, no on tarps, no on shavings. Go to the artificial turf or the Brilliant Pad. That's my favorite answer. 100%. All right. Well, Marty, thank you so much. I know you've had a super, super long day and I really appreciate your willingness to share your time and your information and your knowledge with us. So thank you.
Always happy to do it.
Happy holidays, y'all.
Bye.
All right, you guys. I know I've been talking about this a lot, but I just want to make sure everybody hears about it. I know every pet owner out there has questions about their pet's health.
The Marty and Laura Show is here to help. Hosted by Dr. Marty and I, the new podcast delivers fun, fact-based conversations about all things pet health, whether it's a runny puppy nose or a kitty cough. This show is really designed for your puppy buyers, for your friends, for your non-dog folks in your life, you know, your cousins, uncles, brothers, girlfriend. So feel free to share this on. We encourage you to use this as a great resource for the non-dog people in your life. Talk on. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our Dog Show Superintendents are the hardworking people who make the Dog Show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the Supers desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.